Hello and welcome to the Creative Consciousness Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. We are your hosts, Sam and Cabrini Greco, coming to you live from beautiful planet Earth. Throughout our conversation, we will be covering topics such as spirituality, global consciousness, metaphysics, and where you think we're truly headed. We have a great show to share with you today, so bookmark us and receive reminders. And you can visit our website at alltruenatural.com.
Well, good evening and welcome to Creative Consciousness Radio Show here on Blog Talk Radio. We are so thrilled to be with you this evening. We'd like to thank you for being in our chat room and holding the space. And no matter where you are on planet Earth, we are here to connect with you and to share with you individuals that are living spiritually purposed lives. August 1st of 2015, we are hosting an event in Las Cruces, New Mexico, and we are bridging the gap. And what that means is that we are bringing forth the spiritual community to Las Cruces, New Mexico, to bridge the gap between each of us so that we can bridge the gap within the community at large. So feel free to visit our website at alltruenatural.com and get more information about Bridging the Gap Spiritual Festival, which is going to be August 1st, again, 2015 in Las Cruces, New Mexico. So I'm going to go ahead and turn the show over to my husband, who will be introducing our guest tonight. And again, thank you and much love.
Well, thank you for that great introduction, Cabrini. Today our guest is Jim Wafer, sound healer from New Zealand. Jim has an incredible story and an incredible soul. He is very aware and lives to give away his gift. Jim makes incredible bell drums and attunes them to 432 Hz for the purpose of assisting individuals in their individual healing and journey. Here's a little biography as per Jim, and the quote goes, "Yes, I call myself the pitch doctor, but it's just a play on words as the witch doctor, because I make sound instruments with tones that heal. I began my journey into power of sound to affect change in the human energy systems years ago in 1987 in Amsterdam, when I was introduced for the first time to the Australian Aboriginal Yidaki, Didgeridoo. I felt its power the minute I heard it, and an instant spiritual revelation was transported in my consciousness to Australia and had an amazing vision. Then I met, in 1988, the Australian Aboriginal activist Robert Thorpe, while he was in Holland at the Aboriginal Festival in Amsterdam. Robert gave me the first real Yidaki and eventually invited me to Australia to meet Aboriginal tribal elders in Arnhem Land and Warrnambool. Okay, Jim, let's go back to the 80s, and can you start your story from how you started in the 1980s?
I heard a didgeridoo for the first time in the Vondelpark in Amsterdam. And it really had a very powerful effect on me. And I actually had a sort of a out-of-body experience and sort of a vision from it. And I was totally blown away by that. And I tried to track the lady down who was playing the didgeridoo, but I couldn't. And it was quite funny because normally in some Aboriginal societies, women are not actually allowed to play the didgeridoo, but the first person I ever heard playing a didgeridoo was a lady. And then about a couple of months after that, I met another another Australian lady who played the didgeridoo called Jo Truman. She gave me my first didgeridoo lesson. And then about a year after that, I met an Aboriginal activist called Robert Thorpe at the Amsterdam Aboriginal Film Festival. And he asked me if I wanted to play on stage with him, and he eventually gave me his didgeridoo, and that was my first real didgeridoo. And he actually said to me when he gave it to me, he said, "That's your ticket to Australia, mate." And I didn't understand what he meant by that, but it was actually turned out to be true, because years later I ended up traveling to Australia. What happened was I started playing the didgeridoo, and everyone around me started telling me, oh, that really affects my chakras, and that has a really powerful effect on me. And I was like, what's a chakra? You know, at that time I had no spiritual inclinations at all and didn't really believe in most of that stuff. And
so what year would this be? Are we in the early 90s right now with your story?
In the 80s. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, 88, 89, 90.
Okay.
Was when most of it happened. And then I met some interesting people. I met a doctor and a biologist who were very interested in the didgeridoo and the sound. And they asked if I wanted to do some experiments. And this lady, whose name is Saskia Bossman, she had a brain mapping machine.
Wow.
And so they did some experiments with classical music and other types of healing music and saw what effect it had on the brain. And then they asked me to come along and play the didgeridoo for several different people and see what it did to them. And to cut a long story short, what we found out was that when people listen to the sound of the didgeridoo, especially with their eyes closed, their brain goes into theta, like, almost instantly. So it's like instant meditation.
So their brain goes into theta.
Whereas other... Sorry?
You were saying that the brain goes into theta state?
Theta state, yeah. Theta state, the brain has four states, as a lot of people will know. The beta state, which is 30 cycles a second and downwards. And then the alpha state, which is 9 to 13 cycles a second. The theta state, which is 4 to 7. And then the delta state. And most people, when they're learning to meditate, what they're trying to do is get themselves in the theta state without falling asleep. Because everyone goes through the theta state when they're falling asleep at night or when they're waking up in the morning. I think when they're falling asleep, it's called the hypnagogic state, and when they're waking up, it's called the hypnopompic state. You know, but basically, that's the magic range where all sort of the good stuff happens, you know, especially with healing.
So with the sounds, it was seen to put people in a theta state.
Yes, almost instantly.
Okay.
And so I realized, well, that's, you know, a lot of the reason why the Aboriginal people play it, because it puts them in the dreamtime state almost immediately.
Oh.
You know? And anyway, so I started experimenting with even more people, kinesiologists, you know, you name it, with the didgeridoo, and found out that, yes, it had a really massive effect on the human energy system. And so I slowly started working towards sound healing with the didgeridoo. And I used didgeridoos, Tibetan bowls, tuning forks, different stuff like that. I've developed my own sort of system. And that's what sort of got me into the sound healing. And I no longer do sound healing. I gave it up, you know, 10 years ago or something like this, because at one stage I realized that, you know, I think basically you've got to heal yourself before you can really go on to heal other people.
Right, right. So bring us through the last couple of decades here with your experience with so what happened next after you gave it up? How did the drums come into the scene?
Well, I was still obviously still interested in sound healing and listened to lots of music. And then I think about 5 years ago, I heard the hang drum for the first time. And when I heard the hang drum, I was just like, wow, this is the most amazing instrument I've ever heard in my life. But of course, they were way too expensive. It was like 2,000 or 3,000 euros. Plus, you needed to go to Switzerland to get them. The guy wouldn't send them by mail.
Wow.
So that was pretty much out of the question for me. And then on the internet one day, I was looking at some hang drum music, and then I saw a link to a guy called Dennis Havlena, who said, well, look, if you can't afford a hang drum, make a tank drum. And there was a video on there about how he'd made a hang drum or hang drum type instrument from a gas bottle, an LPG bottle. So I got myself an LPG bottle and a grinder and a cutter and hacksaw blades and made one of these drums. And it sounded pretty cool, but it wasn't exactly the quality that I thought it should be. Mm-hmm. And because I'd have some experience with welding, even though I'm not a great welder, I decided to actually cut the top and bottom off and make one a lot slimmer. Mm-hmm. And then I realized that the sound quality was much, much better. And so I started making drums and, you know, sort of selling them, giving them away. And then I got into the 432 hertz tuning, and I'd heard of the 432 hertz sort of controversy many times, and I wasn't really sure what to believe of it. But the first time I actually made a drum and tuned it to 432 hertz, because of the resonance effect, I could really feel it in my body, and I realized how powerful it actually was. And that was it. I was onto something different then, and so I started working a lot with the 432 hertz frequencies. And it was almost the same effect as the didgeridoo putting you into theta. Well, the 432 hertz effect was actually much more powerful.
Oh.
And I sort of likened it. It was almost like I got an instant communication with my higher self or my soul.
Yeah. Now, was this an intuitive choice you made regarding cutting the top and bottom? You know, regarding establishing, you know, the drums that you make today, was it like an intuitive choice you had? Because it sounds to me it was you were listening to something or inside yourself that literally guided you to make it this way. Am I accurate in saying that?
Yeah, very much so. The only way I can describe it was like when I started playing this drum at 432, it was like I got a communication from my higher self. Wow, this is what you do. And so I started actually getting communications on how to make the drum, what different types of notes to use. And so in the beginning, it was like it wasn't done for me to sell the drums. It was done as a healing and a sort of a connecting device for me to connect with my higher self. And, yeah, that's the only way I can explain it. It's like when I played this drum, I just...
Yes, it was more of a... It was more of a direct personal thing for yourself, right, in the initial phases of your drum making?
Yes. Yes.
That's incredible. So... Why 432? Did you get this information like online regarding the 432 hertz?
Yes, I'd heard it before because there was a guy called Dieter Marx, a German researcher, and he had this idea one day. He thought, you know, in the Western society, people use a tuner and everything's tuned to 440 hertz.
Right.
Whereas, you know, broke time, it was 431 and stuff like this. And he had the idea, he thought, well, I wonder what tribal people play, because they don't have tuners. So I wonder what in each country, what kind of pitches they use for their instruments. So he went around the whole world recording different instruments. And to his surprise, he found out that many, many of the shamanic people and a lot of the tribal people used frequencies which were almost all 432.
Wow.
And he couldn't figure it out. He said, well, how can they all come to the same conclusion? You know?
Wow.
So I'd heard this story, but it wasn't until I saw a movie called Sonic Geometry on YouTube, and there's another movie called Electric Sun and the Number 9, which explain how 432 is related to nature. It's related to the size of the moon. It's related to the size of the sun. 432 times 432, 864. Half of that is 261. The moon is 2160 kilometers. So if you watch the movie Sonic Geometry, it shows you how the number 432 comes up in nature all the time. In fact, I think it was Joseph Campbell. He said that in ancient history, the number 432 is the most important number. Comes up all the time. It's encoded into pyramids and sacred sites, etc., etc. So, yeah, there's a lot of information out there that shows that 432 relates to life energy. I think it relates to the Fibonacci spiral and stuff like that.
Now, you're
well, that was all theory to me, and doesn't actually mean a lot. I mean, it's nice, could be coincidence, whatever, but sure. I do know that when I listen to 432, it does something to me that other music does not do.
Right, right. I concur with that as well. I'm also aware of 432 hertz, and I was telling you before the show, I have my guitars tuned to 432 hertz. Now, your first initial drum, was it trial and error? Was the first drum you created for your personal, you know, your personal healing, was that tuned to 432? Was there a lot of trial and error with your first drum making?
Well, the first it was, because I was using the pattern that Dennis Havlena, and he was using rounded tongues, and he was cutting them with a hacksaw blade or a fret saw, and it was all really quite hard to do. And then I realized I was just going to cut straight square tongues and then lift them up and round them off, and it made it a lot easier. And then I started experimenting with different scales, and you know, it took me a while because there's so many scales out there. It's unbelievable, you know. But I came to one which I call the soul scale, because it just, it affects me that strongly. And it's also all based around the 432 and the 234. And, you know, it's a group of notes in the middle of this. There's a section of notes called the, I think I've got it here. It's called the factor of nine grid. And when you tune your notes to 432, what happens is they're all exact and they all add up to nine. Well, I found that if you take the 432A, well, the F above that is 342 hertz and the E is 324 hertz. So I don't know, there's some connection there between the 432. So I use a group of notes all from around the sort of center of that number nine grid. And basically it's a G, B, C, D, G, A, B, C, D. And I call that my soul scale, because that just, I put that on a drum, and as soon as I started playing it, it just gives me goosebumps every time.
So, Jim, do you have all eight notes on each drum?
Yeah, nine notes on each drum.
Okay. Now, when you create these drums, I was meaning to ask you, is it an alchemic process? Are you in some kind of like a praying mode when you create these drums? Is there some kind of spiritual connection while in the process of making these drums for yourself?
Yes. Yes. A meditative state, not really prayer, but I used to try and make them like a factory. It doesn't work. So each drum I spend a lot of time on, and I meditate with it, I play it. And especially when I paint them. When I paint them, it's really a whole different process again. I spend quite a few hours painting them, and I'm in a very meditative state when I'm painting them. I do a lot of dot painting, Aboriginal style sort of painting. I call it color magic, because I'm in a totally different space when I'm actually painting them.
Yeah, that's great. What kind of
to do each one in a meditation way.
Yes. What kind of metal is it? They're metallic. I know they're metallic, and is there a specific metal you go for when you create these drums?
Well, there's two types of drums I make. One is from gas bottles. It's just mild steel.
Okay.
And the other one, I get made in a factory. And I should tell you a little story which will probably blow your socks off. But I used to make the drums from secondhand gas bottles. But it's really too dangerous, because when there's no gas in, there's still residues of gas.
Right.
And so I only use brand new ones. And then I heard a story a few years back, about a guy that he had a gas bottle factory, and he was making gas bottles for the guy here who runs a business called The Warehouse. And it didn't go well, and there was a sort of a court case, and the guy apparently tried to rip. The guy from The Warehouse tried to rip the guy who had the gas bottle factory, so the guy who had the gas bottle factory ended up almost going bankrupt.
Hmm.
And So I heard that this guy had the gas bottle factory, but he wasn't actually doing anything with it. So I thought, oh, wouldn't it be great if I could contact this guy and buy a gas bottle really cheap? You know, but I couldn't find him, and so nothing ever happened. And then one day I was busking in Wellington, and some guy came up beside me and said, hey, those drums are really awesome. He said, where do you get your gas bottles from? And I said, well, I just buy new ones. I said, I actually heard a story about a guy who had a gas bottle factory who went broke, and I was, you know, looking for him for ages, but I couldn't find him, so I just buy new ones. And the guy said, oh, that's really funny. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I'm that guy.
Oh, my goodness.
I said, what do you mean? He said, I'm the guy who had the gas bottle factory that got ripped off by, and I said, you're joking. He said, no, come around the corner, I'll show you where, you know.
Wow.
Anyway, that wasn't the only freaky thing that freaked me out. Like, I'd been making bell drums in Nelson for about 4 years, and I was known as the Nelson bell drum guy.
Okay.
So then the guy takes me around the corner in Wellington and shows me where he's living, shows me, you know, what he did. And so he shook my hands, and he said, what's your name? I said, oh, my name's Jim. And I said, what's your name? He said, oh, my name's Nelson, Nelson Bell.
Oh, wow.
I said, what? He said, my name is Nelson Bell. So now Nelson
wow.
Bell drums are made by a guy in Tauranga called Nelson Bell.
Talk about being at the right place where, you know, where you're supposed to be. This is what an incredible testimony to, you know,
I know.
These types of synchronicity.
I make two drums now, a gas bottle drum, and I make a professional, what I call the Bell Drum Pro, which is tempered steel, and it's made in a factory in Tauranga by Nelson Bell.
What kind of paint do you use for the...
I still laugh about that. I think that's just weird.
As you decorate it, what kind of paint do you use for the metal? I mean, I'm a painter myself, and I added curiosity.
I use acrylic paint.
Okay.
I use acrylic paint from a company in New Zealand called Resine. I've tried different paints, but Resine paint is just amazing, and especially for what I use it for. So what I do is I put a base coat, and then I do my dot painting, and then I cover it with lacquer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
wow.
A cool lacquer coat.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Folks, this is Jim Wafer. You can find him also on Facebook. Jim, can you give us any other contact information where people can reach you who may be interested in your drum?
Yes, the best place is my website. And on my website, I have pictures and I have video. And my website address is http://... James J. Wafer, that's JAMESJWAFER, .wix.com /the-pitch-doctor.
Okay, folks, well, there you have it. It's Jim's website is http://jameswafer.wix.com/the-pitch-doctor. Well, that's great, Jim. This is a great interview. From the moment we met you, it was magical. You know, even in our experience, I know our life becomes more enriched with the people we meet on the show, and you certainly have enriched our lives as well with what you do. I had literally no idea of your drum, as well as probably most of the listeners now who are listening to us. And so this part of your gift to humanity has literally enriched our lives as well. So, you know, on a personal level, you know, as far as Cabrini and I go, we want to thank you for listening to yourself, and thank you for following through that intuition and bringing forth such a beautiful thing. And it's such a perfect setup because of the synchronicities that you were telling me regarding Nelson Bell and the person who had the factory. And, you know, these synchronistic stories are such a testimony to, you know, you listening to yourself and following through. You're a great example of how people, when they follow through with what they listen, it becomes, you know, life shows up and it becomes magical for them, per se. Jim, can we have Can we have a sample of your drum? Are you willing to play a few, like a minute or so of it?
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure how it'll come over the phone, but you'll have to tell me afterwards.
Okay,
cool. So what do you want, a minute or two?
Yeah, just a minute or two. We have about 10 minutes left in the show, so we'll just do 2 minutes for now, if that's okay with you.
Okay, cool.
So here we
to,
have...
I don't have a clock.
Nope. That's fine.
I'll
that's
just
fine.
Go until I stop. Okay, here we go. Okay.
Yeah, that was great, Jim. I was just telling the people coming to us live from New Zealand, Jim Wafer, the pitch doctor, and his healing drums at 432 hertz. Great. So it's so wow, it's you come from a different angle from what, you know, we're so used to, especially with you having created this and finding this out on your own and bringing it forth to humanity. So again, you know, before you did your example, I was thanking you, and I want to thank you once more for doing this.
Cool. Well, I'm going to share something with you that I've just decided over the last few weeks or so, that I'm actually going to give this away, and I'm going to do an ebook and a YouTube video to let everyone in the world know exactly how to make these, so everyone can start making them.
Oh,
you know,
that's a great idea.
Yeah, I'm going to share it because, you know, it needs to get out there, and I learned from the internet, I learned from Dennis Havlena, and I sort of updated his idea and perfected it, and so I'm going to re-release it back into the world. And I think there's a lady, a drummer in America called Yvonne Sabelli, and she's going to be the first one to receive the information about how to make it. And then I'm going to give it out on the internet and do some video and, as I say, an ebook, and let people around the world start making them.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I'm so glad you decided on doing that, because our gifts are meant to be shared with humanity and not hoarded with ourselves. So that's such a great thing. It's such a beautiful path that you're on, and you know, we're witnessing you, you know, doing this and being the person you are. Yeah, this is fantastic. So anything else regarding the drums, Jim? Can you tell us how it affected your life personally?
Well, it's been a big healing, and it still is, because as I say, when I meditate now, I just meditate with the drum. And You know, I get literally I get downloads from my higher self, my soul, and I get a lot of information and a lot of guidance. And also, a lot of people have, there's actually a couple of testimonials on my website that there's one lady who had rheumatoid arthritis and had a lot of pain for many years, and her husband heard me playing my drum on the street, and he literally begged me to sell him my drum, and I actually did. And he took it back to his wife, and his wife played it, and she said the third time she ever played it, she completely relaxed and had no pain, and she's been using it ever since. And she said it's made such an effect on her that she's actually started to study sound healing at an academy in England.
Oh, that's
And I've had a nurse from Australia who, they had a woman in a hospice who was dying of cancer, and somebody brought in a bell drum and said it might help her calm down and be at peace. And she said that the whole hospital basically came into the room and was like, whoa, and was just completely blown away. And, yeah, I had stories like this from other people, but it really helps with pain and relaxation.
And, well, you might just put doctors out of work one day.
I don't think so. You know, I mean, you know, if you get run over by a bus, a bell drum's not going to do much good to you. But, for stress and emotional release, there's nothing like it, you know, because you don't need to know anything about music at all. You just basically hit it in any way you want, and it's going to work. You're going to feel instant relaxation, instant sort of, it's like instant meditation, you know.
Yeah, it's beautiful. So, on your website, do people have access to samples of the music?
Yes. There's some free music on there. There's some videos. And also on YouTube, as the Pitch Doctor, there's quite a few videos on there.
So there you have it, folks. Yeah. YouTube, look up the Pitch Doctor, and you will find our dear friend Jim Wafer with his healing sound. Jim, I'm going to hand the mic over to Cabrini. We have about 5 minutes left. This is where she starts closing the show. I want to thank you for taking your time and being with us, and have a blessed day, and I will pass the microphone over to Cabrini, my friend.
Hey, thank you, Sam, and it's been a pleasure, and I'm very grateful that you had me on your show.
All right.
Well, it's been an interesting evening. We find that when we work with individuals that are living spiritually purposed lives, the energy of the actual being combined with the energy of us and those of you that are in the chat room and listening to us live really does blow the sound system out. It really kind of gets in the way of the electronics and the electromagnetic field. So, you know, rah-rah, right on. That goes to prove who we are individually and collectively, that we are individually, within ourselves, the power. The power is within us. It's not within anything that is outside of us. And those things around us really do kind of just become invisible to the source that is within. Jim, you're a phenomenal being. We have been so blessed by you from the moment that we connected with you. Just by your energy and your truth and how you bring forth without any difficulty, you are so authentic. You say it the way it is, and we love and really appreciate individuals that have the confidence and have the faith in themselves about with their own gifts. And you really are one of those individuals. Just by the work that you do and the love that you have with the music and your drums. Jim has been so gracious to us that he has shared some of his music with us. And I find myself in a lot of mornings just turning his music on just to become energized and more attuned to my body. And my body really works with the frequency that he, you know, makes these drums with. And I know that if you take an opportunity to go and listen to some of Jim's music, you too are going to find that you're going to be drawn to this because it really does bring about a balance within the body. Wouldn't you say, Jim? Doesn't it kind of harmonize the body?
Well, it's about resonance for me, and because the 432 frequency is all through nature, it's all through us too. And so basically every cell in your body is attuned to 432, believe it or not. That's my, you know, that's my belief. 432, the A tone is actually the frequency of the heart chakra. That's what I believe, although other people would disagree. For me, my heart does resonate at 432 because I can feel it.
Yeah, and I find that too. No matter what kind of place I'm in, you know, what kind of energy that I'm waking up to, you know, when I turn on your music, I feel that balance happening to my physical body. Really gets an attunement, and it, everything kind of balances out. I noticed that with myself with just listening and just, you know, having it play in the background, and no matter what I'm doing, I have it there, and I'm very conscious of the effect that the music is having on me. And so when you talk about the 432, you're saying the note A is the frequency of the heart. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
And Jim, also what I've researched, and I've also come to the knowledge that the universe also operates in the 432 hertz as well, and also brings forth a note, and that would be the F sharp. Can you explain that a little bit?
Well, F sharp is the frequency of a lot of geometric shapes.
Okay.
You know, if you watch sonic geometry, you'll see that every shape, like a square is 360, a circle is 360, a triangle is 180. If you take those values, like 180, and you translate it into 180 hertz, you'll get I think it's an F sharp.
Well, okay, folks, that was Jim Wafer coming live from New Zealand. And if you're interested in connecting with Jim, you can find him on YouTube under The Pitch Doctor, or you can also locate him on Facebook under his name, James Wafer, or go ahead and visit his website at jameswafer.wix.com/The Pitch Doctor. Jim makes bell drums, and he attunes them to 432 hertz. And perhaps you may be even interested in purchasing a drum from him. It's been a phenomenal show tonight. We are so fortunate to be acquainted with Jim, and we really support the work that he's doing. We'll be back here on Thursday evening with Rebecca Baines. Rebecca is a theta therapist and healer, and she'll be bringing her message of her journey on Thursday evening, 7 p.m., on May 14th of 2015. We're going to leave the show off with a little bit of Jim's music so you can experience the attunement or the resonance that we were talking about in the show. You have a great night, and God bless.